Third and final hour of the day, third and final hour of the week. We welcome those listening here on 1140 AM across Northern California. We welcome those listening all over the world on the KHDK app. And we welcome those watching on KHDK.com and over on YouTube. We are so appreciative of each and every single one of you. It has been an incredibly busy week here for KHDK and for Sacramento Kings fans. James Hamm of NBC Sports is going to join us here in 5 minutes. I am Damian Barling, along with the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be, the king of the live stream, Jason Herbert Walker Ross. The champ is with us as well. Cody Baylor will be with us here at the bottom of this hour as we've got the Friday mailbag on the way. Luke Walton and the Los Angeles Lakers have agreed to part ways. Luke Walton will interview for the Sacramento Kings head coaching position. Luke Walton and Monty Williams remain top targets for the Sacramento Kings. Monty Williams also a top target for the Los Angeles Lakers, with many under the belief that Ty Lue will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers as well. Danny Ferry will not be the general manager or president of basketball operations for the New Orleans Pelicans, but David Griffin will. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that just a little bit ago. So the man in charge of the biggest trade of that franchise, or in that franchise's history, and this is the team that had to deal Chris Paul as well, will be David Griffin. David Griffin is a savvy general manager. We'll see what he has up his sleeve for the New Orleans Pelicans. One series before we get to James Hamm here in about 4 minutes that I do want to make sure that we touch on, Jay Ross, is the Portland Trailblazers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. The NBA playoffs get underway tomorrow morning. I think the first game for us, I think it's at like 11:30 or something.
Probably, because there's four games tomorrow and Sunday. So
yeah, so we've got basketball all day, all weekend, really. I told you that there's some intriguing storylines that could potentially come out of this series. What this series looks like probably depends on Paul George's health. He's day-to-day right now. The Portland Trailblazers haven't had a lot of playoff success, and that's kind of where I'm at with this series. What happens if the Blazers get ousted again? Are we looking at the end of Terry Stout's run here with the Portland Trailblazers?
I mean, this is going to be a big question for them. I think it looks like they've got good harmony there, that they connect well with him, that they respect him, that they think highly of him. So it feels like the answer is no, but what are expectations? What are thoughts of that? What do you change? I don't think you're going to change a lot. They had a terrible injury to Nurkic. They've tried to recover. They've tried to make the most out of that. But if he were to lose again, especially in a bad way, they got swept by the Thunder this year during the regular season. I would never say never, but I think it would be a bad move. But organizations have done that before.
I think it would be a bad move as well, but this would be another first-round playoff loss.
Right, exactly.
And Portland is that team that you look at and you just go, what can they do?
Yeah.
Dame is a top-level player in the NBA. I think CJ is really good. They have a lot of quality pieces there. And I feel like that postseason-wise, I feel like they should be more successful.
Right. But do you feel like they could be the last one out of the West?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. And everything I just said about the Portland Trailblazers, I feel like I could say about the Oklahoma City Thunder as well. They need to have more postseason success. And you laid out the scenario a little bit ago. Because of the three versus the six, the Oklahoma City Thunder have a great opportunity to be in the Western Conference Finals. In my opinion, as you know, removing my Russell Westbrook fandom out of this, the Thunder need to be in the Western Conference Finals. Because with the Warriors and the Rockets having to deal with each other, they should be there.
Yeah, though by seeding, Denver's the favorite, but I'm not picking them to
do
that.
And you're not high on them.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, another birdie.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So we at four under?
Is it four under?
So he's three back from the leaders right now. The leaders, are they in the clubhouse? They haven't even gone out yet, have they?
Oh, no, yeah, because that group's pretty much done. Everybody that was yesterday, they flip-flop time, so Tiger's playing later in the day.
Adam Scott is still out. Adam Scott, six under. He's not on top of the leaderboard, but he's right behind. He's the only one that high on the leaderboard who's still out. He's on the 14th right now.
Yeah, the two par fives are left. Ooh, and Tiger just threw a dart right at the cup. So there we go.
A little excited over here, guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to go into this weekend.
I'm not going to be disappointed.
No?
Yeah.
Like, in what way? Meaning you're not concerned?
Well, I mean,
he doesn't
have to win it for me to not. I'm enjoying him. I would like him to win. I think it'd be a great story. You want stories, but you should want him to win.
I do want him to win. Okay. We went over this yesterday.
You're not enjoying it as much as I am.
Well, it's because I'm trying to do a radio show.
Okay. As am I.
I thought we were just talking about our first crushes.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read part of this to you, and I'm going to read it to James Hamm as well because he's listening, and we're going to talk to him here in just a second. I'm disappointed for Luke. In this job, as a coach in the NBA, you are 100% dependent on your circumstances. The strength of your organization, the momentum, the unity, everything has to be good in good order. If it's not, as we have witnessed with the Lakers, then there's going to be casualties, and usually the coach is the first one to go. They're losing one of the best human beings in the NBA. They're losing a guy who knows the game as well as anybody I've ever met. They're losing somebody who players believe in, players want to play for. But again, he was dependent on his circumstances, just like all of us. There's a lot more to that quote, but that's Steve Kerr talking about Luke Walton. We bring in James Hamm of NBC Sports. Luke Walton and the Los Angeles Lakers have officially parted ways. Do you think Luke Walton will be the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings?
I think there's a good chance. I think that the Kings, I know for a fact that Kings are already reaching out to Luke Walton, and they intend to interview him for the head coaching job that was vacated when they terminated Dave Yeager's contract yesterday. I think that there's a good chance that they have a short list, and that short list might be one or two coaches that they really want to go after, and Luke Walton is at the top of that list. So, look, if they're aggressive, I think it's very possible that Luke Walton is the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
James, what does Vlade want to hear from Luke Walton, from whoever that short list you're kind of referring to is? What was missing from Dave Yeager that Vlade wants to hear from the potential new coach?
Well, I think it's complex because, we're hearing things bleed out late with the Kings. And there are things that, these things typically happen this way. Once a coach is gone, you start hearing things like, well, maybe his relationships with his players wasn't the best. But look, those are things that you could have worked on with Dave Yeager, and he easily could have come back with a different mindset and with a different objective next season. And it's something that the Kings didn't want to do. They chose their path. When it comes to Luke, I think it's an interesting thing because he clearly had issues with the way that things happened in LA. He had a young team on the right path last year. And that path got completely derailed when LeBron James was added. Heightened expectations and all that. But Luke Walton coaches the style of basketball that Vlade Divac wants to play. And I think that's the biggest reason why I think he will likely be the coach of the Kings and has a very good chance of being the coach of the Kings because last season the Lakers were second in the league in pace. This year they were fourth in the league in pace. Vlade wants to keep building around De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley and this speed team that they've built. And I think that's the thing that I would point to. If Luke Walton comes in and says, hey, you've got a Ferrari and I'm ready to drive a Ferrari, then I think that that's where they'll go. And also, look, Vlade, in his final year, he went back to L.A. and played for the Lakers, and he and Luke Walton were teammates. Luke was in his second year in the league. So they have ties. They know each other well. And it makes sense that you go with someone that you're familiar with if that's what Vlade does, in fact, do.
James, is there one thing, perhaps larger than the other, that contributed to the downfall of Dave Yeager and his time with the Sacramento Kings?
Realistically, I think the Brandon Williams situation really didn't help anyone. It didn't make anyone look good. Just the way that it was handled behind the scenes, the way that it never fully got addressed, the way that it ate at the relationships behind the scenes the entire season. And, who we point to and point the blame on that, I think it's everyone. Everyone should have done a better job of handling that situation and making two guys get in a room and work it out. And if they don't work it out, then clearing one of them out. But I think that set the season off on a pretty dark path. And when the wins didn't come late in the season and Yeager refused to make some changes to the lineup, that, you know, around the team were clear, you know, Marvin Bagley moving into the starting lineup and stuff like that. I think it just showed you that, look, Dave was going to do things his way, and you got to live with that because that's who he is. And I just don't know that that was the best approach. And certainly at the end of the day, I think it's one of the contributing factors.
Well, I agree in one sense, James, about Brandon Williams, that whole situation just being one of the factors. Why wait till now then to dismiss him?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. And I think a little bit of it is Vlade wasn't going to have his hand forced by anyone to making any decision. You know, this is his team. And if you want to be on Vlade's team, you're on Vlade's team. If you don't want to be on Vlade's team, then there's the door. And he said, look, we should be able to work this out as men. And they weren't able to sit down and do it. And I think that that's a major issue, that they just weren't able to clarify and get this thing taken care of. We've known for a little while that it was very likely that Brandon was gone. The Dave stuff cropped up maybe a day before. And even as the day was playing out on Wednesday, you started to see major signs that it was going to go the way it went. But yeah, I'm not sure why Brandon stuck around as long as he did. It certainly didn't help the sort of the behind the scenes tenor of the season.
There were some, you just used the term behind the scenes, James Hamm with us here on the Lowdown, by the way, you just used the term behind the scenes. There were some other Sacramento Kings employees that were let go yesterday. In your opinion, or maybe this is a question that you asked, did any of those releases have anything to do with information being sent out to the media? Or I should use the term leaked out to the media instead of sent out.
No, I don't think so at all. No, I'm not really even sure what you're talking about there. Some of the people that, you know, like, I think everyone knows the media director for the Sacramento Kings, Chris Clark, you know, parted ways yesterday, mutual, whatever it was. I've known Chris for the last 9 years. He's not the leaker. He's not the guy that's putting stuff out there, specifically not over the last few days. You know, he's good people, and I wish him all the best. I don't think that that has anything to do. The leaks that come out of that organization, they come out sideways. They come out a lot of different ways. But a media director is someone who has to have a relationship with the media, who has to have a relationship where he can call people and say things to support the team. And that's, you know, Chris did his job. I wouldn't put any of the leaks and the craziness that you see that come out of this franchise on occasion on him at this point.
Well, I want to make sure I make this very clear. I'm not suggesting that Chris didn't. It was actually a firing that caught many people who deal with Chris off guard. And looking at the Jason and I both kind of thought, well, it looks like we're headed into the offseason and it's going to be either Brandon Williams or Dave Yeager. And when it turned out to be both of them and he was lumped into that, it had some of us, again, this was a behind the scenes thing, scratching our heads a little bit. So that's the only reason that I posed the question.
Yeah, you know, look, the way that NBA franchises work, each of them are very, very different. And the Kings are, they're very special when it comes to the way that they deal with things. Chris is a guy who really did put in the time and the energy to do the job well. And through some of the worst circumstances that you could ever possibly imagine as a media director. I mean, we've heard the whole knife fight in a phone booth when it came to, you know, relocation. But look, Chris was there on the front lines all the way through two relocation attempts. And in my 9 years, I'm on to my seventh head coach. These aren't easy positions. And I think everybody knows, whether you love the Kings or not, that it hasn't been a really smooth 10 years of basketball. And it's not always easy to be in a position where you have to be out in front of things all the time. And so, again, it's a tough job, and I think he did it admirably.
And so where this, I mean, kind of what you referred to, we've all been a part of this, James. We've seen that, you know, Kings are a joke, Kings are a mess, that narrative for a while. But now Dave Yeager lifted him to a spot to where they are, where it's a 39-win team, whoever the new coach is, I feel like comes in with an immediate amount of pressure or a number or a win total that they have to get to in year one without really much of a grace period, whether that's Walton, Messina, Williams, whoever the coach might be.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, I think one of the reasons why you let Dave Yeager go, and it's a slightly complex reason, but really it's not. You never let a coach go into a lame duck year. No NBA coach is going into a lame duck year where they're coming into the final year of their contract. So at this point, you had to decide, was Dave Yeager going to be here long term? Were we going to extend Dave Yeager, give him a 2 or a 3 year contract extension on top of the year he's already under contract, and make him part of what we're doing here for the next 3 or 4 years? Knowing that there's a good chance that you are on the right path, that you're heading into the playoffs. And so basically you're locking into his personality and who he is, because once you start winning and you start making the playoffs, it gets more and more difficult to let a guy go. And I think that played into one of the reasons why, like, this is not the guy that some people within the organization wanted to go into a potential 3, 4, 5 year relationship with as they start to succeed as a team. So if they do bring in a guy like Luke Walton or Messina, there's going to be tremendous pressure, but also it's the guy that you want. And you're hoping that you're bringing in a guy that can take a team that's already on the right path, add some really cool players in the offseason to help build the roster out, and then move forward with this group. And so expectations are going to be high no matter who you are. They would have been high for Dave Yeager even if he signed an extension. I just think it more or less comes down to whether or not he was a guy you're going to hook your wagon to and go with. And they decided he wasn't the guy.
Is it Luke Walton and then everybody else?
I mean, maybe. But, you know, those things change very quickly. Because you want Luke Walton doesn't mean Luke Walton wants you. I don't think that we know that yet for a fact. I think Messina is a guy that they showed interest in the last time. I've heard that he was number two behind Mike Woodson in Vlade's coaching search the last time around, before Dave Yeager became available at the last second. So I think Messina is definitely in it. I think Monty Williams is about as intriguing an intriguing candidate as you can possibly find. He's had a lot of personal tragedy in his life. He lost his wife in a gruesome car accident 2 years back, and it's kind of derailed what was a very, very promising career. And I think he's probably to a point where he's ready to take on a team after being back in the league for a couple of years. So I think that there are other guys out there that, you know, you should believe can take you to the next level. But I would say the key ingredient that Vlade talked about at his press conference on Thursday was very specific. We have a style. It's Kings basketball style, and the next coach will play that style. And that means that if you think Messina can be that coach, or if you think Monty Williams can be that coach, I'm not sure that either one of those guys have shown that they can be that coach where Luke Walton has shown that he can be that coach. Whether he's won games or not is, you know, that's up for interpretation, or why he didn't win games in L.A. or why he won games with the Warriors as an interim. But the style of play fits, and that's what really sticks out to me, why I think he's a very, very good candidate and a leading candidate to join up with the Sacramento Kings.
James, if that's the list, at least as of now, if we just go off that premise of Monty Williams, Messina, and Luke Walton, when they get to free agency – does any one of those play a factor one way or another of a free agent coming here, or are people just looking at Vlade / De'Aaron, you know, the current stuff that's in place? Do any of those coaches have a move the needle at all on any potential free agents?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think Luke Walton is highly respected around the league. It's not that long ago he was a player, very well liked as a player, very well liked as an assistant in Golden State. Now, your follow-up question could be, is Kevin Durant coming to Sacramento? And I'm going to say no. But, you know, I think you've got a situation here where you're selling a package. You're selling a building. You're selling a 20-year-old, 21-year-old point guard that has unlimited potential, a 20-year-old power forward that can jump out of the building. I mean, you're selling a lot of things when you're going into free agency. And I think the coach is part of that. And Walton has a good following. I know Monty Williams is highly respected. He spent a lot of time with Team USA. before he took his, sort of his sabbatical from the league. Messina is a guy who's been with a winning program for the last 5 years in San Antonio. I mean, it just depends on who we're talking about as a free agent. Are there connections that tie them to those specific coaches? And would it be more enticing if they were part of the package that you're offering as a franchise to go with, again, Vlade and the team itself?
James, how will you look back on this season? How will you remember it?
For me, I mean, look, this is my ninth season covering the team, and it was the winningest season that I ever covered by 6 games, which, I mean, you could say that's not saying much. They still didn't win 40. But to me, there was a fun, light feel to the season the whole year. And that's why I don't buy into all the Dave Yeager couldn't reach his players and stuff like that. I just don't buy into it because, being there every day, we didn't ever see, issues, cracks until we got towards the end of the season. So I'll remember this as really the building block of something special that I think everyone believes around Sacramento. We're seeing the first year of the team take off and what could be, a 5 or 7 or 8 year playoff window. You hope they could backslide. They could have things fall apart. But that's all I'll remember. Every day I walk into the locker room, this was the best group of guys I've been around. Not even close. I've covered some really, really strange locker rooms. This was not a strange locker room. It was a good group of young guys who liked each other, who were always on the phones messing with each other, who danced together on the sidelines, who really do have a good spirit about them, and that's how I remember it.
And I was alluding to the summer, too, when after they decide on the coach, which is obviously a very important hire. The guys that are free agents, any of them you expect to come back as member of the Kings, whether that's Willie Cauley-Stein, Kosta Kufis, a couple guys that they have to make some decisions on?
I think everything's up in the air. When it comes to Willie, I think to put a qualifying offer on him is only $6 million, but the cap hold is over $14 million. So you have to make a decision pretty quickly there because either you've got $34-38 million to spend, or you got $24-25 million to spend because of his cap hold. So that's a player that I think that you're going to have to really, really examine. How does he fit here long term? And do you have players that are ready to step up and take those roles? And so I think if his price tag gets too high, then I don't see them bringing Willie back. If his price tag stays where I think it will be, then I think you have to consider all options. And then when it comes to Kosta, it really does depend on what happens with Willie A, what happens with the other rotational spots that you're able to fill B. And then when it comes down to it, I think Kosta wouldn't mind coming back, even though he hasn't played a lot the last two seasons. But he's a seasoned veteran that can come in and fill minutes anytime that you need him. And he's such a good person off the court that, he's a pro's pro and he's always ready and he's in tremendous shape. And he's a guy that you're better for having him around your franchise.
Just real quick, Hammer, what do you think Willie's price will be?
I've heard that in the past that his people were looking for close to, gigantic max money, 80 to 100 over long stretch. I don't know. There's always going to be a team out there that could make a stab, but I think there is a huge free agent class. And I don't know where Willie fits into that. I don't think he jumps out and sticks out as someone who's going to get major money. And that means that I think he's going to get more like mid-level money, which is $8-9 million a year this year. And if that's what you're looking at, it's really hard to turn that down to match a deal. If he's on a 3-year $24 million or a 4-year $35 million contract, I mean, the guy can still run the floor, jump out of the building. He can do a lot of things that help your team. Whether he's a primary starting center for the next 10 years, I don't know. But it would be hard just to walk away after all the time and money that you've invested in him if it's not a big deal.
What do they do with Barnes? Do they tear that up and do a new deal? Is he just opt into that final pretty big contract? What do you think there?
Man, now you guys are just spitballing. if I'm looking at Barnes, you got two. I think you have two options, and both of them are pretty good for the Kings. I don't think he's opting out and leaving. He's not going to opt out at $25 million because getting that money back is going to be really difficult. If he was told, look, we have a four-year 80 or a four-year 70, $72 million deal, starts at $18 million a year, and the Kings can clear up $7 million additional dollars this offseason and can go add more bodies, if I'm Harrison Barnes, I got to look at it. Because that's going to take you into 30, 31, making $18 million a year, and that's really good money, $18, $20 million. I think he'll look at everything. The Kings could also, he could opt in. They could pay him his $25 million when they have a bunch of cap space right now, and then they could ask him if he would like an extension on for 3 years, which is reduced money, so they save money in next year and the year after that when they start having to pay some of their young players. So it's complex, but I think Harrison Barnes is going to be here at least next season, and I wouldn't be shocked if he was here quite a bit longer than that.
James Hamm is obviously getting agitated with us, so yeah. we're going to let you go. James, most important question of the day, real quick, most important question. Who was your first crush on?
My first crush? Like, yeah. In general?
Yeah.
Like a celebrity crush, or anybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I turned 20 years married this year. If I were to go on the radio and start talking about crushes, that wouldn't make me a very smart man. So I'm going to say my wife, who I've been together with for almost 23 years.
Wow. All right, yeah. Hammer.
And she's an amazing lady. She's an amazing lady.
We'll send you this air check, buddy, so you could play it on your next anniversary. Well done.
There you go.
Well yes. Done, my man. Thanks, James. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
James Hamm, NBC Sports. We'll be back. We've got the Friday mailbag, including first-round playoff matchups. And Russell Wilson has put a deadline out there for the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk about that next. Believe it, I ain't had a crush in years. Hey, love. Just let it go. Turn it up. I can't remember where that part was. Is there a second verse here? Yeah, waiting every day. This is quality return music right here. All right, as we roll along here, mailbag segment is here. Welcome those watching on YouTube, KHTK.com, those listening on 1140 AM and the KHTK app. We appreciate every single one of you. We appreciate James Hamm, who joined us and got agitated with us there in the final few moments of the conversation. Appreciate James, Jason Jones of The Athletic as well. There's been a lot of news today. Luke Walton and the Los Angeles Lakers have officially parted ways. Sam Amick reported that the Sacramento Kings will reach out to Luke Walton, Monty Williams, and Ty Lue, coveted by the Los Angeles Lakers. David Griffin will take over as the New Orleans Pelicans general manager. So that's where we are still. Nothing from the Suns. Maybe Igor Kokoskov is their guy moving forward.
Could be. Maybe they said, you know what? We're going to enjoy our first weekend and watch the playoffs and get to some reporting on Monday.
There you go. Yeah. Well, very well may be the case. You have sent your letters all week long to 280 Commerce Circle, Sacramento, California, 95815. We welcome in Cody Baylor as the mailbag segment gets underway. Cody, before we get to all of these wonderful questions that people have sent us, who was your first crush?
My first crush was Derek Jeter.
I don't believe that.
I do.
That's a lie.
Ask my mom. Ask
your
my dad.
Your first crush was Derek Jeter?
He started playing for the Yankees when I was born.
I forgot.
96?
92.
Oh.
Right?
No, 96.
Yeah, but
you were four when Derek Jeter started his career?
That still could be your first crush.
Okay.
That's fair.
I forget who were. So we've got Marsha Brady and Derek Jeter.
Wait, who's yours?
I just said Marsha Brady.
Marsha Brady.
Yeah.
I don't think that's real.
Well, I had a crush on her.
But it wasn't your... Yeah, you can't remember. I remember distinctly.
Yeah?
How Lisa old Bonet. Were you?
The age? I don't know. It was the Cosby Show. I don't remember. I know Lisa Gonzalez was like 10. Because that's when her and my sister were friends.
Okay.
I mean, they've been friends for 30... So I've known Lisa Gonzalez forever. Like an embarrassing amount of time. And she tells people that. Like, yeah. I've known her since I was like 10 years old. I don't remember the exact age, but it was Cosby. It was Lisa Bonet.
I'm pretty sure it was Derek Jeter.
I mean, short hair Lisa Bonet, long hair Lisa Bonet. It was all a win.
Okay.
And when she married the Admiral, I was really not okay with that.
Isn't she married to Aquaman now?
Yes, which I didn't know until today. I had no idea. I knew she was married to Lenny Kravitz. I assume they weren't still married.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that she was married to Aquaman. I don't know who Aquaman is. I've never seen it.
What? He's Jason on Game something. Of Thrones.
Yeah. Momoa?
Momoa, yeah, that's
do
it.
Do we need to go over the Game of Thrones thing? I watched 20 minutes of Game of Thrones last night, my first episode. I tried to sit down and watch an episode. I turned it off. I think I hit pause because I had to take a phone call and I just never went back to it. So I have watched 20 minutes of Game of Thrones, and I can't count how many heads I've seen cut off. Yes, I've seen multiple heads cut off in the first 20 minutes.
Just wait.
I feel bad. I'm going to be left out. The new season starts on Sunday. All right.
A lot of hype for that.
A lot of hype. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No. As you can tell in the video that was revealed today by Matt George about the Game of Thrones. I think I did. I think you can tell I know a lot.
You did great.
Yeah.
Andy didn't know. I was like, hey, Jason's ever seen it. He's like, he hasn't? I was like, you couldn't tell by him just blurting out random facts?
We got Cody's mic fixed for the YouTube channel?
Yes.
Okay. Cody, what's up first?
All right. What one game captures the Kings 2018-2019 season?
It's actually easy for me.
I think it's easy for me, too.
I'm going Detroit in Detroit.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Buddy's garbage buzzer beater, which he'll tell you, I'm sure he'll tell you that was trash. The play was trash. Everything about it was trash. It went in. That win masked a lot. I feel like that was the case for the Sacramento Kings all year. Their winning early at the rate that they were masked a lot of garbage. It masked their poor defense. It masked a whole lot. If I were to encompass the entire season into one game, it was that game in Detroit.
Okay. I took the home game against Brooklyn because for three quarters, that was about as good as we've seen them play.
Ouch.
But the full game also had the fourth quarter, and we saw them not be able to stop one individual D'Angelo Russell, who at one point, honestly, was throwing in garbage shots.
Yeah.
Then he got crazy hot, and then they couldn't stop him when they were trying to stop him. So it shows you their ability and also maybe a reality somewhere in there, too, where they were fragile at times, they were tough at times, they were awesome at times, they were frustrating at times. And I feel like that game, there was a lot on the line, too, just everything. And so it shows you they're close, but not quite there. And inside that game, though, there were some great moments. So I feel like it's the Brooklyn game.
I'm going to go for the Warriors game that was back in February. We lost, just like we did to the Nets, but Marvin Bagley's performance was amazing during that game, and then just every top seed team that we've played, it just shows what we're capable of. So I'm
good,
just really
but
excited.
Not quite good enough.
Yeah, I'm just really excited for next year to push it even further. Get those
Bagley?
Wins.
I heard the Bagley. Did you go wee?
She did.
You went wee. That's adorable.
The Kings are wee.
Are they?
They are.
Okay. Well, that's cute. What's that? Wow, that's great that they're all three different games for two all very, very different reasons. All good ones, though. The Brooklyn one hurts.
It does. That hurts. That's kind of the way the season ended, right? Yeah. I mean, not that once they finally got to the end, we knew they weren't going to make the playoffs, but there was a chance. I really thought they would.
You could really pick any of the Golden State Warriors games, but if you wanted to just put the nail in the coffin a little bit more, you could go the one we bring Buddy back, go to the one where Dave Yeager yelled at Buddy
because that would encompass
the offseason as well.
Right.
Yeah. Nice job, Cody. What's next?
All right. What first round playoff series looks the most interesting?
I'm gonna do something a little bit different here because I think it's gonna go seven games. And it may not be the most appealing going in, but Indiana and Boston. I think that's gonna be tricky for Boston. I think Boston's gonna win. Indiana's tough. They're feisty. They're gonna play hard. Boston's still, again, I think they're good enough to win a title. But if they lost in the first round, I'm not surprised either. So that one has a lot going on because what's going on with Kyrie? This Boston team. They said they were right. They're not right. And just Indiana's going to be a pain. I think that series is going to be really fun.
I actually went with Boston Pacers as well. Hayward seems like he's really coming back to his full strength these past couple months. So it's exciting to see him in the playoffs, see Kyrie kind of shine like he does in the playoffs. And this team, Boston, has been so on and off the entire season to see if they can come together and bring that chemistry to when it actually matters.
Thunder Blazers.
My player-to-player was Westbrook against Damian Lillard. That's just going to be a very fun series to watch.
I think I'm so captivated by what the fallout of this series could be. Both teams need to win. and to go just a step further, both coaches need to win. You got to start looking at Billy Donovan like, man,
yep.
You got a legit big three here when you count Steven Adams. I think the Thunder, I mean, the Blazers have a bit of a built-in excuse because they lost an important piece of their roster earlier. So I still wonder, though, is Terry Stotts looking, you know, is he looking in some trouble if they get ousted in the first round again? So I know that that's kind of cheating the question a little bit. I think the result of that series is something that we should pay a lot of attention to.
All right. Russell Wilson's deadline is Monday. Do you think a deal with the Seahawks gets done?
Tax day is Monday, by the way. So I don't know.
Thanks for the reminder.
I think Russell Wilson did this because Russell Wilson strikes me as the guy who wants everybody to remember that tax day is coming up on Monday. So he set his deadline to get a new deal done on tax day, so we all knew. I haven't heard anything about this.
I haven't either.
So I'm going to go no. I don't. I mean, the Vikings just inked a deal with Adam Thielen. We hadn't heard anything about that leading into the deal getting done. I don't know what the hangup is. I don't know why there wouldn't be a deal done. I mean, it's Russell Wilson. It's a top-tier quarterback in the league. Obviously, I love guys named Russell. I just don't think it's going to happen. And then, I mean, it's not like Russell Wilson's not going to go to practice.
Right.
That's not, he'll be there, but I don't know what the end result. I don't know if this is going to result in a franchise tag. I don't know what any of this is going to result in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting, I'll say threat, but what's he doing if it's not done by Monday?
I just wonder, why is he rushing it? Wouldn't he want to see, do you guys agree that Prescott is going to get extended this year?
This year. Yeah.
Don't you think you'd want to see kind of what other deals are being shot around for other quarterbacks?
Russ? No, I think Russell
would
rather
set the bar.
I think he'd rather set the bar.
Just do it now.
I mean, because Dak's not deal isn't going to top Russ's.
It should.
I know it's normally next quarterback is the highest paid quarterback.
Not in that case.
Not in that case.
No.
You just can't. Like, Russell Wilson's been to two Super Bowls. He should have two Super Bowl rings, but he at least has one. That trend is going
to
end.
Russ doesn't want to raise the bar. He wants to be the bar.
You use that. You used that line earlier.
But he really went right for the camera. That's good work.
Is this for the new audience? Like
he worked the camera.
Yeah.
All right. Can you go to commercial? We'll come back. We'll finish mailbag. Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, and John Elway. That's all in the mailbag next.
Welcome back to The Lowdown. If you want to find us on social media, you can find Damian at Damian Barling, Jason at Jason Ross 1140, Chris at the Champ KHDK, and me at Cody Baylor. If you also want to look us up on Facebook, search The Lowdown. Damian, Jason, back to you.
Ramona Shelburne tweeted the Lakers had cursory talks with Walton's representatives in which both sides discussed if there was a way to move forward. The conversation didn't go very far.
Well, they moved forward.
They did.
Just not together.
Just not together.
Yeah.
Indeed, they did. Luke Walton and the Los Angeles Lakers have parted ways. We'll touch on that here in just a few minutes as we wrap up the Friday mailbag. Cody, what do we got? Did everybody answer the last question, by the way? What was the last question about Russell Wilson? Mm-hmm. Everybody got in on that? Okay, sorry, Cody. Go ahead.
What do you think of Dwayne Haskins wearing a John Elway jersey to visit the Denver Broncos?
Yeah. I feel that way about anybody wearing a John Elway jersey. Weird, but apparently, sources close to the Denver Broncos, guess who got a kick out of it?
The Denver Broncos.
John Elway.
Gold star for Jason Ross. John Elway was amused by it. So that's a bold strategy, Cotton. That's a bold move to wear a jersey to a team visit, especially the jersey of the president of football operations. But
hey, maybe he started something. Anybody else going to a job interview? Find out who you're interviewing with. Make a custom-made jersey. Find out what team they like. Is that a thing?
What do you do? Does Kyler Murray show up with a Tim Brown jersey?
Wasn't he a big John Elway fan, though? That's why he wore...
Still, not a good look, though.
Well, no. And I'm sure that his agent didn't really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm confident. I'm very, very confident that that he didn't. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not the best look. Okay.
All right.
We'll just end on weird.
So don't be surprised if Luke Walton comes to Sacramento with a Vlade Divac jersey.
Solid take right there. That's
on
how you do it.
The Raiders.
Or Vlade shows up to the interview with a Luke Walton jersey on.
Former Raider head coach Jack Del Rio said Antonio Brown will be a pain in the ass for the Raiders. Is he right?
Yes. Yeah, but he's also going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I don't think my whole thought on Antonio Brown is everything that we've seen, we're going to see as a Raider.
Yeah.
And that could be three touchdowns, 250 yards, best player on the field to weird stuff, sideline rants. Yeah, I think that's all what you're getting, but he's awesome.
John Gruden's not naive. He knows what he walked into. He was the one that signed him. So yeah,
they knew it.
And I believe there's a big respect there. And John Gruden just likes hard work. So I don't think he really cares if what you're doing
get the results.
Doesn't affect, yeah.
I think Antonio just needs to get to the season. All this talk with Juju Smith-Schuster, all of these different things going on social media, I just think Antonio Brown needs to get to the season. And once we do that, he'll be fine.
But that's not going away. Not that story could, but the next thing will happen, yeah. Right?
But what's the what's the next thing, though?
I don't know. Something, and it may not be that big of a deal.
I mean,
but
I don't think Antonio Brown has ever had any real issues until week 17 issue.
He's going to talk, whatever that means, and it might not even be a negative thing.
Yeah,
you're just going to know how he feels.
It's only a problem if he says something about Derek Carr. Then the Raiders have a big, big problem because we already don't know how the Raiders truly feel about Derek Carr.
From what it seems, he seems like he has a very good relationship with Derek Carr.
Because
he has nothing but love.
He hasn't missed him being open down the field four times. Because I don't know if you guys are aware of this. A receiver is open on every single play.
Always.
They will tell you about it.
Yeah.
And for a guy like Antonio Brown, I'm sure he's open on even run plays.
Yeah. And if they're not, I'll catch it.
Yeah, I just jump up and catch the ball.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everything's fine now because there haven't been any pass attempts from Derek Carr. I think that's the only place the Raiders will run into trouble if Antonio Brown has something to say about his quarterback.
We'll see. Last
of course, assuming Derek Carr is the quarterback for the Raiders.
John Gruden claims he told general manager Mike Mayock in regards to the NFL draft, don't screw it up. Isn't that a weird thing to say to your boss?
Yeah, but it's funny. I think it's tone, right? Well, how was it? Hey, don't screw it up. Or was it, don't screw it up?
But
yeah.
Why are we pretending like Mike Mayock's making the pick?
Mike Mayock is a very intelligent man when it comes to the draft and when it comes to players and scouting.
What was that?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Cody's right.
He's showing
the crowd, too.
He is. And I think this is kind of where he shines. I think he definitely was more of a joke. Like, hey, I took the heat for all of these trades, losing our best players, so please do something with these first-round draft picks.
So Mike Mayock hands a list to John Gruden. Says these are the drafting four. Okay, guys, we kind of have a strategy. We work through this. John stands up. Yep, but we didn't know this guy was going to be here. Who wins that argument? Mike Mayock? But no, John, we had this guy rated higher. Yep. That's because we thought he was gone. I want that guy.
I think they kind of have a... I think John Gruden really respects Mike Mayock's decisions.
Until they conflict with what he wants.
I don't think they will.
Well, I wonder how many times that... I mean, I know what you're asking. I wonder how many times that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it does. And maybe it's prominent. Maybe it's right away.
I was watching some press conference with Mike, and they practice this. They practice a lot of different scenarios so that they are on the same page when that stuff comes up.
I guess with the fourth pick, you have a lot less to worry about than if you're the 12th pick, because if you're the fourth, you could probably, not if, they are the fourth, you can go through every plausible scenario. There's only three picks in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably less likelihood of that happening with that pick, but once you get, they got two more in the first round. That's where I wonder if, I kind of like this guy. I know this guy's available. I know this is what we talked about. I didn't think this guy was going to be here. We didn't talk about it, champ.
Can I say it's not that weird to tell your boss not to screw this up?
You can say that.
I'm pretty sure I say that to my boss on a regular basis.
I think you do. Yes, I think I've seen those videos, as a matter of fact.
All I can think of is the champ butting out books from Jason Rouse's hand.
Oh, I know.
I thought that was an accident.
Multiple
sure seemed
times.
Like it. He laughed, but...
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to end up being for example, if all three of us were the draft team for whatever for the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
and if Chris had the champ had the final decision, I had an opinion on a player, you had an opinion on a player, Cody had an opinion on the player. I think that's all need to be weighed, but he would have the pick.
Mm-hmm. But who is Chris in the scenario?
Gruden.
Right. That's
right.
What I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think, right? Isn't that the case? The guy that's making $100 million over 10 years?
Yeah. Well,
and that's what I understand he probably said that tongue in cheek. I get it. But still, right. Come on, man. We're not stupid.
I'm excited to see what they do with it, especially from what they've done since December when they did hire Mike. They've made amazing.
Mike Mayock was fantastic. I mean, the Raiders have the best TV team in all of football.
They do.
Between John Gruden and Mike Mayock.
Does that count for something?
Yeah, there's no team better. Yeah. Mike Mayock is good at evaluating players, but he's never had to evaluate players for a team before in this way.
Select them.
Yeah, he's never had to evaluate players in the sense where his job is on the line. It's one thing to do. It's one thing for you and I. We evaluated players all last season heading into the Kings draft.
Yeah, we weren't picking them.
If we were wrong, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
If Lotte was, it mattered.
Yeah. If you guys are wrong, John from Elk Grove is just calling and saying, you idiots, you're totally wrong about him.
Right. I'm not losing a couple years of my career or perhaps not getting another job.
Sure.
That's it, man. Right?
Are we done?
Yeah, we're gone. Show's over.
It's Friday.
Woo-hoo. The week is over. More news coming from ESPN. This isn't breaking news.
Okay.
This puts a stamp on Ty Lue being the front runner for the Lakers' job. Rob Pelinka will head up the coaching search for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Why do they even have these alerts?
Well, I think that's interesting because of a previous, I think it was Woj, I can't remember who it was, or maybe it was Sam, I don't remember who tweeted, that Rob Pelinka's power is, it wasn't Sam actually, because we told Sam and he was, I had never heard Sam more dumbfounded in my life than when we told him they weren't firing Rob Pelinka and his power is going to grow. I'm assuming Rob Pelinka is now the president, the unofficial president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And Magic tweeted that out.
Can I say that was my...
Are you serious?
Because he can. No, I'm saying because he can be Magic Johnson again. He's breaking news. I'm having fun. I'm Magic Johnson.
I'm having fun now.
Yeah.
Can I say my favorite part of the week was Sam Amick just getting all that news and just being like, well, guess they're doubling down.
We stunned Sam Amick into silence. Like that was a first, but it was a fantastic week. We're so happy that you were with us. You guys on the YouTube channel are absolutely nuts. We appreciate you. The text line as well. We appreciate everyone who was with us today, yesterday, and all through the week. Who knows what is going to happen over the weekend other than the NBA playoffs getting started. We'll be back Monday at noon to recap it all. Enjoy your weekend and be safe.